You're listening to your terrible podcast.
Hey, podcast.
You are listening to your podcast.
You are listening to the Tableau podcast.
Welcome to the Tableau podcast. You know, we have clips on YouTube, right? You guys watch YouTube, right? You love YouTube, right? You know, Epic High also has a YouTube, right? And we have this thing called Epic High Was Here that we're doing. It's like a documentary / vlog thing that we do on YouTube. You know, YouTube is not just a place to watch music videos. Okay, YouTube is not just a place to watch cat videos. But it is a great place to watch music videos and cat videos. Okay, YouTube is basically what TV was for older people. Okay, YouTube is amazing. It's also a scary place. There's a ton of stuff on there that I have no idea how it's not getting thrown off. Like the thing. Like I have no idea how it's still there. But anyways, YouTube has taken over our eyes and our attention and our time. What are some of your favorite YouTube channels, guys? Huh? What are you watching? What do you have on your computer, like behind your spreadsheet? And then your boss walks by and then you flip to that browser window and you watch YouTube. Like, what do you have on your phones that you're watching right now? But you have your phone tucked like behind, like, you know, like inside of your textbook so your teacher doesn't know. Like, what are you guys watching? So obviously, there's a lot of YouTube viewing going on in our household because my daughter's 10. Okay? And she's like really into YouTube. Some of the stuff she watches a lot of like Korean YouTubers and also American YouTubers. She started off with like those toy reviews. I think slime was a huge factor. When slime was like super popular. Those tutorials. And she was also into squishies, okay? And she still is, but she like loves blind bags, right? You know, like surprise bags,
yeah,
that you open. And there's like an entire like world of videos focusing on these people, these hands just opening freaking bags of toys.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I got a double. Okay? That's when you get the same thing, right? Anyways, so I watched a ton of these YouTube videos with her, obviously. And she also like… She's into Marvel now. And she's into like Disney princesses and stuff. So she'll like go on and like watch videos that are like talking about Easter eggs. Or, you know… like she's also into like movie trailers for some reason. She loves movie trailers. So she's like, Daddy, are there any new movie trailers out that I can see with no blood, no swear words? And, you know, I try to find them. Nowadays, she's really, really, really watching a lot of Billie Eilish content. But you know how Billie Eilish, she like cusses a lot?
Yeah.
So one video, it was like a video and it was in our house, right? Like with her mom, I think. And I thought maybe there's no cussing in that, but you know, she did cuss. And she's self-filtering, you know, like we've never made a big deal about it, but she chooses to not like content with cussing, right? So she's like, ah, turn it off. She said the S word again, right? And I'm like, Haru, but what can you do? You like Billie Eilish. She likes cussing. Like, what can we do here? And she's like, Haru's just like, search Billie Eilish, no cussing or clean.
I don't think that exists.
And I'm like, I did. It said no cussing. Like, I didn't know she was going to just suddenly say it. And you know, it's really funny. And at one point, Haru was like, I love Billie Eilish, but I hate Billie Eilish. Right? And yeah, anyways. So she's into YouTube.
Is there like specific YouTubers that you know, like she'd like be very excited if, like, for example, she met them or something?
Interestingly enough, she's not really, she doesn't really care. Well, not saying that she doesn't care, but it's not the YouTuber.
It's what they're doing.
It's the content.
Love that.
So she's like watching like tons of different people. But she won't just watch like someone's content just because it's like her favorite YouTuber or anything, right? She's like into different things, like, you know, like for example, if it's pottery, she'll just watch a bunch of videos. And she sticks to YouTube Kids. It's only when she needs to watch her Billie Eilish content that she asks me, right? Mm. I don't even know why she keeps trying, even because, like, most of her videos, Haru hates, like any blood or like any doctor, like surgery scene or anything like that. Okay, anything violent, she's like, she just doesn't like. Okay, well, enough about what Haru watches on YouTube. Okay. Can you believe that the stuff she's watching, sometimes it's like being narrated or like hosted by kids that are like her age and they're making like millions of dollars?
Well, their parents are.
Yeah. And I just hope… Okay, this is all I got to say about that subject, okay? I mean, it's great, right? Whatever. But if it's parents exploiting their kid… Stop that shit.
Yeah.
Okay? If it's your kid who really wants to do it and you're supporting your kid, great. You deserve applause. And I would hate that… I would hate it if people were suspicious that you're exploiting your kid. Right? Because if that's what your kid wants and you want the best for your kid and you're doing everything in your power to support your kid as well as, you know… be a good parent so to protect him or her. That's great. That's great. But yeah, no more exploiting kids for YouTube riches.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, here is what I watch on YouTube.
This is going to be interesting.
I'm really into video essays.
What does that mean?
Okay, have you heard of like Nerdwriter One?
No.
Okay, so there's a guy named Nerdwriter One. And he does like these things called video essays, which are like, yeah, essays in video form. So, for example, one of his topics is how art arrived at Jackson Pollock. He'll do things about like popular films as well, like what the Truman Show teaches us about politics. He'll do like Seinfeld, What Nothing Really Means.
Is it like with infographics and stuff, or is it just him talking to a camera?
No, it's not him talking to a camera. He appears, but it's with like really good visuals.
What so, does that mean? It wasn't description as a show about nothing. Not until this episode called The Pitch, which…
Oh, okay. Just things like I get the format you're talking about. I'm familiar with that.
So he's speaking out an essay about something.
Yeah.
But it's in video form, right? That's what video essays are. And there are many channels like his. That I… You know, it's not that I agree with everything that's being said here. It's just…
Food for thought.
Yeah, I just like stuff like… I just like content like that. I also am subscribed to… there's a screenwriting channel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for it. I'm subscribed to too many different things, so I can't really find it. Hold on. I'm subscribed to NPR. Nickelodeon.
That's probably for Haru.
I'm subscribed to Vox.
Oh, yeah.
I'm subscribed to the New York Times.
You like current events, think pieces, stuff like that.
Dude, I'm even… What?
I'm not
subscribed
really
to Bloomberg. Okay. Here's the thing.
You're not really subscribed to people, huh?
I do subscribe to People as well.
Okay.
I'm gonna get to that, but I'm subscribed to like Lessons from the Screenplay, I think is what it's called. Okay. So here's the thing. I subscribe to a wide range of opinions and views. Okay. And some of the things that I'm subscribed to, I specifically subscribe to certain people I totally disagree with. Okay, I don't like their opinions. I actually would say that I'm like the opposite of whatever views they have, right? But I subscribe to them because I need to expose myself to things that I disagree with. Like I don't want my subscriptions to become like an echo chamber where I'm just having my thoughts echoed back to me, right? I don't like listening to people talk to me in a way where they're just telling me things I want to hear. That there's absolutely no growth in that. I need opposing views thrown at me like constantly. And I don't mean hate. That's not a view.
Yeah.
That's not an opinion. I don't mean like just shit on me. But what I'm saying is I like having views that I disagree with being thrown at me constantly so that I can protect the views I have and also make my views evolve, because none of my views are like set in stone. I am constantly changing and trying to, you know, change for the better. So I like being subscribed to people that I disagree with as well. I don't want to say their names.
Yeah.
Because I don't want…
to promote them necessarily.
Well, I don't want to… Also, I don't want them to be vilified just because I'm saying I disagree with them.
Yeah.
Other things that I'm subscribed to… What are you subscribed to?
I don't know. I don't even pay attention to my subscription box anymore. It's always just like the recommended page. You know? Last night, it was a pure coincidence that we were talking about like sickness last night.
Mm-hmm.
But I was watching a bunch of videos of doctors, you know, like experts react to like how television or movies portray their…
Oh, field. Yo, I saw that. That's one of the things I'm subscribed to.
Yeah.
It's a guy who used to work at the CDC.
Yeah.
Reacting to like movies like Outbreak and Contagion.
Yeah, the one I was watching, he was reacting to… I love Scrubs. So he was reacting to Scrubs. And then like, you know, just like teaching what, like all the references and like how to break down like the illnesses or diagnoses, like the Latin roots and stuff like that.
So I love that channel. I don't know what channel it is. I can't find
different
it right
people
now.
Do it. It's yeah, like… It's just a format that's popular.
There's also one, like a famous bank robber or someone that is watching like heist movies.
Ooh.
And talking about like how accurate it is. Yeah. I love that channel as well.
Yeah.
Here's a person I'm following. I'm following Kevin Smith.
The director?
Yeah, the guy who made like Clerks.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of…
Terrible
films. but you know, some people like… I actually like his films.
I like Clerks.
You know how a lot of people say Clerks was good, but all his other movies are, you know, terrible?
Yeah, whatever.
But I don't know. I think it's like a guilty pleasure. And also, I like Kevin Smith because he's such… You know, he's like the… he's like a huge nerd.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And like, I just like him. I just like talk… Like his talks. I also follow the Joe Budden… channel where Joe Budden and his friends like talk about like hip hop and stuff like that. I'm subscribed to Philip DeFranco.
Oh, you know what? That makes sense. You should go on Philip's podcast when you're out in LA.
Do you know?
Have him on. I don't know him personally that well, but he's like…
He talks really fast.
He's in the circle. Well, that's just because he's an OG YouTube person where like people didn't make videos like longer than like 4 minutes back in the day because everyone assumed no one wanted to consume that long of content.
Okay.
So I think he's just like suited to like talking fast because he knew like people's attention span weren't that good.
Okay. I'm following him because, you know, it's very short, but… He talks super fast.
Yeah, I know.
Right? And he's like throwing out, you know, different takes on like things that are happening.
Yeah.
And regardless of whether or not like…
He's very similar to you in the sense that he's not afraid to listen and talk about like viewpoints that might contradict his.
Yeah. I think that's why I'm subscribed to him.
Yeah.
And also like some of the things that he discusses on his channel, like I will never be able to… Like it'll never come into my circle of information, right?
Are you saying that it's yeah. that he brings attention to things that you might have not seen or just like… You not necessarily care about?
Yeah. So I'm looking at his channel right now. And like most of the content that… Like most of the news that he… not most of. But some of the news that he touches upon… Like it will never enter my circle of information.
Yeah.
Which is really good that he can provide that. Right? Like for example…
He talks a lot about YouTube stuff.
Yeah, he talks a lot about YouTube stuff, but he also has like, you know, like someone suing Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And stuff like this, right? And
I just can't imagine you watching a video about like something to do with like Gabby Hanna.
Who's that?
She's like a YouTuber.
Okay. Like pure YouTubers that I follow?
Very little, it seems. Phil DeFranco is one.
I'm subscribed to Casey…
Neistat.
Yeah, Neistat.
Yeah.
Because of a particular video that I saw. You know how you end up subscribing but like…
You don't even
remember that you're subscribed?
Yeah, that's me for most of
it. That's what I want everyone listening right now to do to the Epikai.
Just at least subscribe like, and forget about it.
Like I want you… Like honestly, you don't even have to like watch the videos. Like honestly, if you ask me, like what's better? Having a bunch of subscribers that don't watch all your videos or having a ton of people that watch your videos but don't subscribe? I would choose having a ton of subscribers
really?
That don't watch my videos. Here's the thing.
There's more money in having more views. Subscribers don't mean anything
Here's
anymore.
Thing. My analytics.
Yeah.
Almost 80 to 90% of the people that are watching. Like we're getting millions of views a month.
Yeah.
Right? Like tons.
Yeah.
Okay. I think our channel right now has like over like… I don't know how many even. Like just like a billion views.
Yeah.
But like… 90% of the people are non-subscribers. That's what the analytics apparently say. Right?
Yeah.
So all these people are watching our videos and not subscribing.
But you don't get real benefit from them subscribing anymore. Because of the algorithm.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying…
I don't care about the money.
If your views are good…
I don't care about the money. I care about being able to tell people…
You have like a million subscribers.
That I have a gold button. Okay?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. We surpassed silver button a long time ago.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the company we were at, like someone took it.
Oh, so you never even got it.
I don't have any buttons.
They'll ask you to give an address like on your YouTube like backend. So if at the time you weren't in control of that, they probably just had that address.
I have no buttons at all. Okay. I don't have a bronze button. I don't have a silver button. Okay, we need at least one button like in our studio somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? Just to prove that we have a YouTube channel. I mean…
Is Haru subscribed?
No, she's not.
You gotta grasp the grassroots movement.
There's some cussing on it.
Okay.
It would be the same as like the Billie Eilish problem.
She's just like disgusted.
Okay, here's the thing. How hard is it for you guys to subscribe to our channel?
Not hard at all.
Okay, official Epikai.
Let's really handhold them right now.
Just go right now. Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing though. They say… Okay, so YouTube has told me… YouTube is interested in us because we do have like, you know, over what I don't know what, like 600,000 subscribers, right? So YouTube, the company, is interested enough that they will like keep tabs on us and they will give us advice. And they're actually very informative and very helpful. And giving us like tips on like how we should do it. Here's the problem though. Epikai, Tableau, Mithra, and Two Cuts. We just won't listen. Okay? So they're like… you should put something in your video where you're like telling people to subscribe and also like hit
call
that,
to action,
hit
CTA.
That bell or whatever.
Yeah.
Like set your notifications on or whatever and like leave comments below. And the thing is, the three of us, we just can't do that. Like, I don't know. We can't muster we just can't do it.
Yeah.
And we're just not those types of people. Like, I can't imagine myself saying, subscribe, turn on your notifications, and leave comments, hit like. I'm not that kind of person.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. We tried. Okay, the three of us tried to make, you know that like video that's at the end of all our highlight videos?
Yeah, the end card.
Yeah, the end card or whatever. And we're like, hit subscribe. We tried to do it and we started laughing like crazy, right? We're like,
but you can still put that in.
We're like, hit the notifications. And we're like laughing at each other, like just making fun of each other. We couldn't finish because we were just didn't work. Anyways, all I'm trying to say is you guys should go and hit subscribe and turn on notifications. Do 좋아요. Do the like. And also leave comments on every video that comes out. I mean, come on. Get us the gold button, please.
Ooh, right? Hashtag epic gold button as a comment and under the latest
button.
Epic High channel video.
I just want a gold button. That's it. I just want to be able to do the gold button unboxing video that so many of these YouTubers apparently do.
Yeah.
And then I'll just shut down the fucking channel, okay? Like just give me the gold button. I'll do the unboxing video and then we'll box the whole channel away. That's all I need.
Yeah.
Okay? Like I mean, I'm a K-pop musician without a gold button.
What? Oh, you know what?
I'm not actually K-pop really.
Right? You're not K-pop at all.
There's a huge debate about that for some reason. Here's the thing. I don't really care. Like I don't care if people call me K-pop or not.
Yeah.
It takes nothing away from us. It also adds nothing to us. So we don't really care. We're just doing our thing. Don't fight about it.
I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
Which is… what is your perception on the whole, like, especially it's getting younger and younger of kids starting, you know, their careers as YouTubers? Not necessarily like to do a specific thing, right? It's not necessarily like a singer who's putting their covers out on YouTube or a comedian or something like that doing sketches, but it truly is just like someone with a camera doing their day to day and basically building off whatever career off of that.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I went to Haru school and it was an open house. And all the parents entered the room before the kids came to the room. They were somewhere else, like they were in the gym or something. And the kids had written down what they want to be when they grow up. And I'm looking around and I kid you not, with the exception of two people, everyone wrote YouTuber.
Yeah.
Okay. Haru wrote vet, I think.
Love Haru.
She wants to be like an animal rescuer. And another person wrote mother. Other than these two people, almost everyone wrote YouTuber. Like at least, I think maybe 3-4 people didn't. But all the other kids wrote YouTuber. Like YouTube star, YouTuber, YouTube. And I realized, wow. So this is like my elementary classroom. Like my elementary classroom, people, like all the kids wrote like, you know, doctor and what, like
actor.
No, we didn't
lawyer.
Have, no, not like kids just wanted
rocket
to,
scientist.
Wanted to dream, but we just weren't allowed to.
Astronaut.
We just like PhD, like
that's a job.
CEO, like none of the kids that were in my elementary school we weren't allowed to dream at all. Like oh my god, I'm getting depressed. But what I'm saying is, it's like when we were growing up and everyone wanted to be like an athlete,
yeah.
or an actor. You know, it's just the same thing, really. If you think about it, right? by YouTuber, they mean multiple different things. So they don't all mean they just want to do YouTube. They mean they want to do different things, but through YouTube. So YouTube is definitely being considered as like the first door that you have to go through to get out whatever you want.
Yes.
Right? Even to these kids, right? And these kids are going to grow up and they're going to do that, right? So clearly YouTube, you know, has nothing to worry about as a company, you know. For the next few decades, they're going to be fine. But what do you mean? Like, what do I think about it? Do I have a moral judgment on it? Or?
There's a lot of debate, right? There's a lot of debate about basically like getting a lot of mass attention and, you know, a lot of wealth from a really young age. And, you know, a lot of cynics will argue like, well, based on what, right? There's no longevity to this, especially we don't have like what a quote unquote skill, like let's say singing, acting, writing, like if it really is just your personality or people like your lifestyle, because that is a thing. Like people sometimes will subscribe to someone just because they want to live vicariously through most of the time a pretty lavish lifestyle, right?
Uh-huh.
And so after like 5 years, when someone younger than them living a more lavish lifestyle comes up, they kind of get forgotten, but they don't necessarily have quote unquote skills to like kind of go beyond. You know what I'm talking about? Like
are these debates happening between old people?
It's happening between everyone. Young people my age talk about it a lot, actually. I'm friends with a lot of creators out in LA, and it's a conversation that happens a lot. And, you know, whether it's about other people or someone just expressing doubt about themselves, just being like, I don't know what else there is to do. And I feel like I didn't really set myself up to like a launching pad to, you know, go off and do something else.
Because, so I'm going to do YouTube.
Or like I've been doing YouTube. Okay. You know, and like people liked me because of the friends I hung out with, because these were these young, attractive,
and they
kids,
don't know they
had all this free time,
and they don't know how to go the next step.
Yeah, because like one in particular, I won't say who it is, but like, you know, they're reaching 30, and it's kind of like, well, 16-year-olds don't give a fuck about what I'm up to because I'm 30 and I just stay home, tend to my house. That's not really relatable. I'm not like 18 anymore with all these like hot friends who could be like models for, you know, clothing brands and stuff like that, going out on adventures and traveling and do all these things that they can live vicariously through. And so, you know, what else, what's next? Like, what else is there for that?
Okay. Well, okay. I see two different questions here. First, I see a question about like for YouTubers, like what they can do as the next step, right?
Yeah.
They feel like they're stuck, right? But that's like a problem that only, you know, they will have to worry about, right? Another problem is YouTube becoming so popular and such a norm for all these kids, and is it good for them to be doing this, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of younger than me, like around 16, 17, who are dropping out because they feel like they're making enough money YouTube, so they don't have to even do high school.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Okay. I don't have any moral judgment, really, on what people do. I mean, it's just people, right?
Like,
there's nothing I can do about that. And there's nothing I really should do about that. It's their choice. But here's the thing. Like, I think it's just because YouTube is really popular. And a lot of people are on it. Like as viewers and as hosts or whatever. And people that are like worried about this are thinking that what if every kid just wants to be a YouTuber? You know? Like, and they don't develop other skills. And I'm like, it's not going to happen. Okay. Yeah. YouTube is popular. There's a lot more people on it than before. Yeah. And there's a ton of news about like a YouTuber making money, and there's, you know, and the bad stories as well. But there are still people that are becoming musicians, becoming actors, becoming doctors, becoming chefs. I mean, it's not like literally everyone is doing YouTube.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting about at least entertainment industry? So beyond YouTube, right? Traditional outlets. Yeah. So like being an actor, being a musician, a writer actually, even authors. So YouTubers get a lot of those opportunities nowadays to act in like TV movies, to host things, to write or publish books and go on a book tour and stuff. And there's been some like, you know, backlash about that because it's just kind of like, for example, agencies in LA now, they'll ask you when you want to potentially be signed by them and get work is what's your social following?
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself has become an almost new barrier.
It's become a currency.
Yeah. And so it's not that it's less about talent, but it is about people who necessarily didn't put in quote unquote like the work into being in those positions to get those opportunities.
Or into getting a gold button.
Or a gold button, right?
Yeah.
And because you know, I'll be honest from my personal perspective, I think a lot of great stuff came out of YouTube. Bo Burnham was a YouTuber. He makes amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a lot of awful things because there's a lot of people who are given opportunities who do it just for the sake of doing it.
Well, okay. This is my stance on anytime these arguments or these debates or these worries happen. Any field that is super saturated because it's super popular is going to have a ton of stuff that is horrible. Okay? There's going to be that much good stuff as well. Right? For example, you just apply this to every popular industry or whatever that's not YouTube. Okay? For example, K-pop. Okay? K-pop is super popular, super saturated. There's a ton of people in the industry. You're going to have a ton of great artists, right? And great content. And because it's super saturated, you're going to have a ton of content that maybe isn't. And that's the same for films. Okay. Hollywood has been on top of filmmaking for how long? Like a century.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They've been at the craft for so long and they're still fighting about like blockbusters. Are they taking over and stuff like this, right? And there's a bunch of films that even I wouldn't call films, but that happens when there's money and attention and popularity. It just happens in any field. Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is that using like the worst of the worst as evidence for a problem with that whole industry or whole genre or whatever, I'm not sure if that's the best way to have the argument or the debate. And that's what usually happens. Like the fact that there is a ton of horrible stuff or just poorly made or, you know, substandard whatever on YouTube is not because it's YouTube. It's because
it's popular.
It's popular and there's a ton of money there. And that means there's a ton of people there. And when people gather, there's some good stuff that happens and a bunch of bad shit that happens. And that's going to happen in hip hop too, right?
Yeah.
That debate is constant. It's like, is hip hop dead? Like are every time there's like a like every year are the new rappers destroying hip hop or whatever, right? That's what happened. Like you look at like big hip hop blogs or like podcasts in the States, that's what the content is about. It's like the new school against the old school and stuff like this. And here's the thing, it's like it's a popular industry. You're not gonna have 100 Kendrick Lamars. You're not going to have like 1,000 J. Cole's, right? But just because there's a lot of content or music within, you know, a very popular genre like hip hop, and you have some, you have a lot of stuff that you might not think is great, it doesn't mean that we're never gonna have another Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, like, genuinely good stuff, content, what have you, prevails.
Yeah, it's just,
it prevails at no matter what.
Yeah,
and it's long lasting.
Yeah, and it's just the normal, like, it's the normal, like, biology of things, right? Or economy of things. When you think about it, right? Anything that's super saturated, I mean, just ratio wise, of course the bad shit increases. And I think it's dangerous to talk about whether YouTube is a problem or hip hop is a problem or K-pop is a problem when you're using the examples when you're using the worst examples to do it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's something I was talking about, like, in a previous episode, like, about whenever, like, people try to sensationalize K-pop, and you know, of course I care because I'm Korean and I'm in that industry, right? And whenever, like, foreign press tries to, like, sensationalize it, they use they don't use, like, a well-rounded group of examples.
Yeah, they choose the outliers, yeah, or the shock factor, or yeah, something like that.
And that's the thing. And that's what happens in any debate because it suits the debater. But I'm just saying that it's because YouTube is just really, really popular. There's a ton of shit on TV that for the life of me, I don't understand how it stays on air. Okay, there are entire TV stations that I just can't believe.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's what happens when there's money involved, and more importantly than money, what came before money is the amount of people there, which means that there's something there, right? And you can't just debate it away. Anyways, yeah, so I think YouTube is pretty much here to stay. It's not a channel, if you think about it. It's not a brand. It's not a company anymore. It's a format.
Yeah, it's a platform.
Yeah, it's become like a CD or, like, you know, like a vinyl or whatever.
It's a vehicle to get content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as long as it's become that, I think these debates are meaningless.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think what we should be debating is how can we use this platform or this format so that, you know, more of the good stuff can get to people and, like, helpful stuff can get to people.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, one thing that TV or any other format will never be able to, like, top that YouTube has is all the how-to videos.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Because this is like a combination of TV plus, like, Google. And I was at the Grammys a few years ago. And I needed to… Okay, so I had a suit that has that, you know, that handkerchief thing. What do you call it? I don't know what you call it. I don't know what the word is. I'm not really a suit guy. The thing you put inside your pocket.
Yeah.
And
my… Handkerchief?
Yeah. And I asked my wife, like, how do you do this, right? And she taught me, but I forgot it by the time I got to LA. So I'm like, oh my God, how did I do this? Because it got, like, messed up in the luggage. And I'm like, how do I fold this? And I was like, oh, YouTube. So I go and I'm like, how to? And there was, like, this great video that someone, like, I don't know, like, the suit editor guy at GQ did, and it teaches you, like, different ways to fold it, and that saved my life.
Yeah.
Well, not my life. It saved my
life.
You would
have died without that handkerchief. Yeah,
I wouldn't be here without that handkerchief. But
humiliation.
But here's what I'm saying. It's like, and if I just Googled it and I was looking at it through text, or someone was explaining it to me through phone, it wouldn't work, right? And I'm not going to be on TV like hoping I catch a channel where for some odd reason they're teaching this,
yeah.
Right? The fact that I can search and instantly see this shit is really important.
Yeah.
Right? And just for that, YouTube will maintain its market share. Because yeah. I don't see any other format being able to do this.
Yeah. A really good tip for people, especially who are afraid of traveling, like to international places or places they've never been before. A thing that I would do, especially was a country where I didn't speak the language, I would look up, like when you land on the flight, how to like move through the airport and like access either public transportation and like how the machines work, because people will do walkthrough videos.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll do a little walkthrough video of like, this is what you press. This is the area you walk.
Walkthrough
this is how
videos.
Much, this is how much money you'll need. And it has to be in cash. And if you have a question, go to this desk. I watched those. So
okay.
I knew.
Let's talk about all the types of videos on YouTube that we really like.
Yeah.
Okay. Walkthrough videos. Video game walkthroughs.
Oh yeah. I love… Let's plays.
What would the video game industry do without YouTube and these walkthrough videos? Because some of these new games, without those walkthrough videos, I have no idea where the damn key is so I can get past this level I've been playing for 14 hours. Like,
yeah.
I can't just… This game can't possibly be me walking in this same level for 14 hours. Where's the key? How is it?
What you do is you have to talk to the man by the trash can and he'll say a cryptic message and then you go around and it'll trigger something in the game.
And these walkthrough videos are very helpful. And of course, again, some people will debate. Yo, should these people that are just playing video games at home with a bag of Doritos and just uploading it on YouTube, should they be making this a crazy amount of money? And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, you can say that about sports.
Yeah, well, I can't really put my… You know, I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah.
But someone is… also playing a game with a bag of Doritos, okay? And just needs to beat this level so they can go on with their lives. And without that walkthrough video, I can't do it.
Yeah. Have you seen the ones where they restore old paintings?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love it. When he puts the little glassy glass, make it all shiny.
You know what else is awesome?
What?
Those videos that are just like very calming for some reason, like cutting through custard.
I can't watch those. I find those unsatisfying.
Really?
Because I wouldn't cut it the way they cut it.
Like a hot, like, so they will take a knife, make it really hot, and cut through cheddar cheese, and it will just slice through very soft.
But I don't like how they do it. And so I find it really frustrating to watch.
Do you watch vlogs?
Yeah, I do. More like background noise though.
Okay, so you're into ASMR.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
It would trigger such a response.
I didn't know that these four letters would make you so disdainful.
I don't like ASMR, but I do like watching, like, for example, Milk Knife. The guy who cleans up different knives and then like… shows how sharp it is and stuff. Those are amazing.
Have you seen the channel where they cut open shit? Like a father and son? They cut like what's inside? I think it's called What's Inside.
Oh really?
They cut like… So they cut through like a basketball for example to show what's inside. And that's the whole channel. They just cut things in half to show what's inside.
Hell yeah.
And this father and son just did it as a hobby. And now they're, you know, probably making like… millions of dollars. And they also… They got a… I think they got like a gold button or like a diamond button. And they cut through that.
It killed you.
They cut it in half to show what's inside the gold button.
Yeah.
Okay. What other videos are there?
Do you like Mark Rober?
I don't know who that is.
So Mark Rober is a former NASA slash what's the other one in California, the Space Center or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He was an engineer for NASA.
Mm-hmm.
And he started a YouTube channel where he basically just uses his like intense knowledge of physics and engineering to do like crazy shit.
Yes.
And he like explain it. So like he went viral, for example, for doing the Amazon porch prank.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a big problem in the States where people steal people's packages from their front
mm-hmm.
porch. So he engineered a ticking time bomb that feels it being picked up by someone. And it's set on a timer and he like does the math and like does test pooling for how long it takes for someone to like transport it into their car. And like if it they open it, it will like trigger an audio thing and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And his audio trigger was the sound of a police walkie-talkie.
Oh, he created this?
He made all of it.
And
he,
it's like, a channel? That's crazy.
And he like tested it and he like tells you like I've been working on this for months just to pull prank on these Amazon porch stealers and stuff like that. It's really interesting.
Yeah, there's a whole like genre of YouTubers who do extremely elaborate things like with incredible like unbelievable amounts of expertise to accomplish the most the most like weird, stupid things possible, which Hadu also loves.
It's the joy.
She showed me like this video of these guys that were building like, you know, like humongous live versions of board games. You know, so like playing Monopoly, but you're the piece.
Ooh.
And like just, and things like that, right? Which you look at it and the endeavor is like amazing, right? Like it takes a lot out of you. It looks like these guys are working on this for like months, okay? Just to get this 3-minute video.
But it's so satisfying if you're like one of the people making something like that. It's
yeah,
so
yeah.
satisfying.
There's also a lot of K-pop artists that have that are doing YouTube now.
Yeah.
Right? Like a lot of Korean stars like that aren't YouTubers have become YouTubers now. One person is, you know, Icon's Chanu. Okay, well, Icon member Chanu has a channel called Chanuzari, and he started this channel when Epikai was like, we were like, maybe we should do some stuff with our YouTube. So it was at the same time. And he makes some fun videos. Akdong Musician, they have it. I know like
There's a lot of Korean comedians who are starting YouTube channels as well now.
Yeah. But what is happening is like in the States, what I saw would be like a YouTuber that is going into non-YouTube.
Yeah. More traditional.
Yeah. More traditional forms. Media.
Yeah.
But in Korea, the opposite is happening where… you know, stars in traditional media is they're going to YouTube.
Yeah.
Right? Which I don't know.
Will Smith has a YouTube channel.
Will Smith is a very good example.
Yeah.
Right? Because
he does not need a YouTube channel, but he has a YouTube channel.
Because he did Instagram and it was so popular, right? So he decided to just like lean into it. And he did. And he did it so well. And then he ended up on that YouTube Rewind video. And everyone… You know the video that everyone like… It was like the most reviled video ever.
Every year it's the most hated video.
I would hate to have the job… Like… Of having to do that video.
I've talked to the people who make those videos.
I mean…
And they work for months.
And there's
months.
No way to win.
There's no way to win. They'll never include everyone that everybody wants. They'll never reference things people want to be referenced. Or they'll showcase people don't want showcased, but other people do. There's no winning.
Yeah. And also, okay. So, the YouTube Rewind video every year is… the purpose is to touch on everything that's happening in YouTube, right? Like mukbang, okay? Like BTS. Anything that's like super popular and that people love, you're trying to fit into one video, right? Which is gonna make sure or make certain that almost everyone disagrees. And you have the job at YouTube of making that video. Oh my God, that would be the worst job because like you're working so hard on it,
it's
obviously.
Thankless.
Right? And yeah, it's completely thankless. And you have like 1 billion dislikes. And I hope that, you know, they're getting paid well because that's a horrible way to end your year every year.
Yeah.
And see, if I had that job, if someone was like, hey, Tablo, like, they're like, let's say I was working at YouTube. A couple of my friends are actually. But let's say I was an employee there and they're like, hey, Daniel. I'm like, what? They're like, we want you to stop focusing on the weird shit you're doing. And
do this really weird shit.
Yeah, do the rewind video for 2020. I'd be like, okay, like, do I have a choice? And they're like, no. And I'm like, okay, will I get fired? And they're like, yeah. If I don't do it, okay. Then let's say I do it. I would actually just do like a YouTube fast forward. I would just not even do the rewind. I'd be like, YouTube 2020 fast forward. And then the first like 5 seconds of it will be, I will just fast forward through all the shit that happened in 2020 so that people can't even like, they can't even see it. So they can't comment on it. They don't even know what the hell's going on. It's just fast forwards and it's like 2021. It's like the future. And I would predict what's going to happen next year. Like I would create YouTubers that don't even exist yet. And I would create like…
I'm sorry. I'm imagining you just running like crazy in front of a green screen wearing wigs.
No.
It's just you in different wigs.
But I'm going to make it really well produced. And I would like have clips from award shows that didn't happen yet. Okay? So… But that will still piss people off. But I will be pissing people off like with the future. Like I would be pre-pissing people off at the end of 2020 for things that haven't even happened yet. I would take that to the next level. And then I will take it to my boss and they'll be like, the hell did you do here? What is this? I asked you to make YouTube Rewind. And I'm like, Rewind is done. Like, there's no way to win. You know that. Like, don't make us do these thankless jobs. So I made Fast Forward. And I know it's still gonna get shit on. And everyone's gonna get mad. But at least it's for things that haven't happened yet. And at least it's like futuristic. Like, at least it's like forward thinking in a way. And then I'll, you know, pack my bags up and put my shit in my boxes and just walk out because I'm fired. But that's what I would do.
But that's how your future video starts. It's you being fired because you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And that was just your way of going out.
Like, yeah.
Cold. Good. Do you have to reset anything? No? Okay. We're at like 56, 55. Okay. Dun, dun. Why don't you, on that topic then, just make a broad future prediction for what's to come on YouTube?
I went to a couple YouTube parties. Once before YouTube was huge. I wish I had the foresight of investing. But anyways… I also went to I was invited to a YouTube party once YouTube became what it is. And, you know, I know we talked about like whatever debate is going on, but I think we can use that time better. Formats change. YouTube won't be around forever. Because there will be, again, a new format at some point. But one thing that won't change is the fact that people need and want content. And people need and want to create content. That has been an unchanging thing since civilization started. There are drawings… there's artwork in caves. Okay. We've always needed to express and we've always needed to consume other people's expressions. And when Shakespeare, or so they say, when Shakespeare was, you know, putting on his new play at the theater, I'm sure a ton of people went there just like we go to see a blockbuster. And that just won't change. It's just the format. And honestly, like, I'm not a master of YouTube at all. As you can see from Epic High's YouTube channel that you're going to subscribe to right now and hit the notifications and also leave comments and hit like. But it is something that I would say I'm a fan of it. And if you're trying to be a YouTuber right now, I don't even want to say like for the right reason or for the wrong reason, okay? Because who is anyone to judge that, right? Whatever reason it is, as long as it's not to harm someone or it's not to cause pain in someone's life or someone's heart. If there's something that you want to express, that you want to show off, that you want to figure out through YouTube by putting yourself on there and out there, do it. But do be aware that putting yourself out anywhere is opening yourself up for attacks as well, right? But that's true, not just, you know, it's not just about YouTube. It's like, that's true anywhere. If you make a song, you might, let's say you want to be a musician and you put out a song, you might have like the greatest intentions, and who doesn't, right? Like a musician making a song, the world doesn't need any more songs. Anybody that's making a song right now is trying to do something with good intentions, right? I'm assuming. But you put the song out and there's going to be people that hate you or that mock you or make fun of you. It happens in any field, any screen, any venue. And that's just something that is part of the world. So yeah, be prepared for that, but do it with confidence. And please, please give us something to subscribe to. Thank you very much.